watching TV just got better.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, let's do this. Get set.
Headed for the open door.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
And welcome to Running Flat Radio. Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star joins me, as always, this week. And we have some special guests in the studio. We've got the Absons. We got Joe Abson, who's actually helping produce the show today, and Carla Abson. You know, it's been such... Well, it's been 2 weeks, right? We got preempted by a game last week, and then we took a little bit of a holiday. We went to Running USA. In San Diego, as a race director, Running Flat is a member of Running USA. There's about 10 of us who are Canadians who go. Alan Brooks from the Canadian Running Series, which, you know, goes coast to coast, most notably the Scotiabank Waterfront Marathon. It's great to kind of connect back with all these guys that you know, we're so busy all summer long, kind of working on our own shtick, and to actually kind of connect, sit down, have a beer together, you know, grab a meal, and just kind of talk about what's happening in our industry. And, you know, it was just an amazing way to kind of take 5 days. You know, we do group runs in the morning.
And did you not get out for a run with Meb there?
Yeah, we did. You know, it was really funny. McGillivray puts on these little 5K fun runs in the morning for us all. So, you know, we all get downstairs at 6:30 in the morning, and we hit this course. And first off, San Diego is one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been in. And super clean, great people, and what a great place to run in front of an aircraft carrier and on your way back. It's just awesome. So I'm walking down the stairs at 6:15 in the morning, coming down to the pool area where we're all kind of congregating to go for this 5K run, and Meb is in front of me with a helmet, and he's on the pace bike.
Now, how intimidating is that?
Horrible.
If Meb's setting the pace.
Horrible. Like, you just want to go back to bed, put the covers over your head, and go, oh my God, today's a good day to die. You know, Meb is going to be leading the charge on this. And Meb's going to be on the show in a couple weeks.
Now, what's Meb run his marathons in? He's, what, about a 208 or whatever?
Yeah,
crazy,
I mean,
fast?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was the, the Olympic... U.S. Olympic marathoner. I can't remember what year that was.
I think he was a silver, wasn't he?
Yes, he was that year. And what's amazing about Meb is this is kind of his last kick at the can, you know, for being an elite runner. And the one thing that we had a conversation about was he's doing Boston.
Very cool.
This year. So we're going to have him on just before he gets to Boston. And he might be making an appearance at Run for Heroes this year.
Seriously?
Yeah. You know, he just wants to now start giving back. He's got a book out right now. So he just kind of wants to give back to the running community. And his brother Howie, they're both really out there right now. You know,
he is down to an earth guy, as he seems. Like, I've read tons of interviews with him, and, you know, I've watched him in, you know, taped interviews. He just seems like a really nice guy.
You know,
is he?
But that's what our entire community is. I mean, I find that with all runners, they're all just amazing people, always giving and always trying to encourage everyone else to do their best as well. And it doesn't matter what your pace is. Like, no one cares what your pace is, as long as you're out there and you're doing what you can do. And that's what I really love about the business is that all those guys are just so great to work with. But we've also got Jeff Galloway coming on in early March. He'll be with us kind of talking about the Galloway method and how that's really kind of changed the face of running and also the anxiety of running a full 26.2.
And think how long that's been around, and still people are still following it, and it's still showing people that, you know, you follow this plan, you can still have a killer marathon.
And they don't swear his name like they do Yasso when they're doing their 800s.
That is true.
So there must be something to be said, because when people say Galloway, they usually smile.
Yeah.
And so we'll be talking.
Yasso, you don't smile.
No, Yasso, you don't smile. But, you know, so it's just a great getaway. And then we also went down south to Mexico, and we will be announcing probably the next couple of weeks an amazing opportunity down in Mexico that we're working on, and people will really, really love it, especially after the winter we've had. So we can talk about that in a couple weeks.
That sounds perfect.
But you know what? Talking about this show, We've got all kinds of great stuff going on. Today we have the Paleo Diet for Athletes authors, Dr. Lauren Cordain and Joe Friel. Dr. Lauren Cordain, he's the founder of the Paleo. And you know, you can attest to the millions upon millions of Paleo books that are out there. And also, Joe is the Olympic coach for the triathlon team for the United States. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these are real heavy hitters in the diet world and heavy endurance world.
Well, and like I said to you, anyone who does triathlons probably has the triathlon Bible sitting next to their bed, because I think he's the main author on that as well. So the guy really does know his stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So having them on is going to be a real treat. They're going to be here a quarter after the hour. And just as a word of warning, mm-hmm. Both are hurting a bit. Lauren was in a biking accident on his mountain bike and broke a leg. And Joel is not going to be very loud because he has 6 broken ribs from an accident.
These guys are hardcore, aren't they?
These guys are a mess. But having said that, we're honored to have him on. I mean, the Paleo diet is, you know, it was out with our friend Atkins, with the Beverly Hills diet, the grapefruit diet, all those diets that were around 10, 12, almost 15 years ago. Paleo was around, and it's the only one that survived. Mm-hmm. And it's on the bestsellers list, so it's going to be great having those guys on, kind of explaining the Paleo diet and also explaining how it refers back to endurance athletes. We've also got, at quarter to the hour, from Canadian Running Magazine, Scott Leach is in for Michael Doyle this week, and we're going to be talking about the biggest news stories in running as well. So it's going to be an interesting show. A couple things we do want to talk about in regards to running flat is Le Chocolat is selling out quickly. May 4th, there's a half, a 10K, and a 5K. Both have walking components in the 5K. 3 liters of wine is your swag. There's lots of firemen, tons of chocolate. It's Windsor's only half marathon. It's a great place to be able to, you know, just get out. It's May 4th. It's a Mother's Day primer, and it's an awesome event to kind of do as a family. June 1st, the Pelee Island Winery Half Marathon has 2 spots left. We don't really talk about it. It's going to happen organically.
Yeah.
But there's only 2 spots left, and I know the people on the island are getting really, really excited about a half marathon on June 1st on Canada's most southern half marathon.
And also, I think I was mentioning to you earlier, right now with all this crazy cold weather, people aren't getting their runs, and I've really been suggesting to people, you know, you've got races coming up, get on, sign up for them. For example, you know, spring thaw is coming up, which is March 23rd.
Yep.
That's a great goal race. That's a great race right now. Sign up for it. It's going to get you out the door. It's going to, you know, you do a 5K, but it's going to get you up in the morning, putting your shoes on and going for a run.
Absolutely.
And that's going to set you up for your race.
And that's at the runningfactory.com or through raceroster.com. And I know that our friends from Race Roster in London and in San Jose, California are listening today. We got also some other listeners from BC that have already checked in with us as well. So spring thaw for sure is got to be on your list of runs to run locally.
Because you know what, that one every year, that's like the kickoff for spring. You get a bunch of people out. Sometimes the weather's crappy, but still everyone's running in the same stuff in the same weather. So why not?
You know? 100%. So the other run that we want to just kind of skate over, mark on your calendar, June 6th, 7th weekend, we are doing the electric run.
We'll
announce that as we get closer to the date. Our Canada Day run is also on sale right now, and we announced Rock Me Anaphylaxis this week, because nothing says fun like anaphylaxis. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that run as well, and that run will be on sale. Hopefully later on in the week we'll open that up, and that's 3 rock bands on one course. It's just going to be an awesome time, and it's during the Cork and Fork Festival. Cool. So,
and honestly, if I want to sign up for any of that, it's runningflat.com is where I go to.
Runningflat.com. And you know what? We're going to be back in just a matter of minutes with our authors from the Paleo Diet for Athletes, and you're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
AM It's time to get moving. It's time for your mortgage to get moving, that is. Now is the time to move your mortgage to Windsor Family Credit Union. Windsor Family Credit Union is offering a very competitive rate of 3.59% on a 5-year mortgage, and that's only the beginning. To learn all of the benefits of moving your mortgage to Windsor Family Credit Union, call 519-974-3100 or visit wfcu.ca.
The road to success is built on willpower. It starts with small steps, discovery, debate, and builds into collaboration and action. We believe in willpower. Your willpower. Here at the University of Windsor, you'll get an excellent education with an exceptional student experience. And you will succeed. Come see for yourself at our open house on Friday, March 7th, or visit uwindsor.ca.
Her mom's purse was just lying there. Nancy reached in and took a cigarette. She just grabbed it out, and then we snuck up to her attic. Oh, our hearts were pounding. We had time for one drag, and then we thought we heard someone. So we ran to the washroom and flushed it, but that bitter taste lingered. I've been trying and trying to quit for 20 years. This time, I'm finally ready to quit.
Quitting isn't easy. Talk to your doctor about non-nicotine prescription options to help you successfully quit.
Wendy's presents Mr. Big Deal.
I love a deal.
What's for sale?
Doesn't matter, as long as it's at rock bottom prices.
Well, I usually like to know what I'm getting. Like a Wendy's Junior Bacon Cheeseburger with hot and juicy beef, just $1.89.
I'll take it.
This one's not for sale.
Get more delicious for your dollar on Wendy's Everyday Value Menu. Big tastes like our 5-piece chicken nuggets and grill their spicy chicken wrap, each just $1.89 every day.
Out of this. I mean, it's really good.
Now that's better.
At participating Wendy's, taxes extra.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Tonight, a few flurries ending near midnight, a low of minus 16. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, a 60% chance of flurries late tomorrow afternoon, a high of minus 9. Wednesday night, another 60% chance of flurries, breezy, a low of minus 12. Thursday, a mix of sun and cloud, a 40% chance of flurries, windy, and a high of minus 12. Thursday night, very, very cold with a low of minus 23. Once again, a few flurries ending near midnight tonight, a low of minus 16.
Oh, this video's taking forever to load.
It is I, the Kojiko Genie, with 3 tech wishes.
Oh, I wish my internet were faster.
I grant you up to 120 megabits per second. What else?
Huge download capacity.
425 gigs are yours.
One left.
A better looking genie.
That hurt my feelings.
Save up to $20 per month for 6 months on our internet packages. Get what you wish for with speeds of up to 120 megabits per second and generous download capacity. Visit kojiko.ca. Conditions apply. Kojiko, how can we help you?
You're hunting for fish, and around the next cove, there might be the mother lode.
Tonight on Discovery, in the raging waters of the North Atlantic, a brotherhood struggles to survive.
Let's go fishing!
They are the last of their breed.
My dad said you didn't have any other choice because I bred it.
Boys, the boy! Let's go!
There's no place for no mamas, boys.
Jackpot, baby!
They are the Coldwater Cowboys.
You think you can do this, you come and try.
Series premiere tonight at 10 on Discovery.
Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
And welcome back. It's Chris Uzinski and Kelly Steele in studio. And on our lines are the authors of the Paleo Diet for Athletes, the founder of the Paleo Diet, Dr. Lauren Cordain, and his co-author, Joel Friels. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris. I'm happy to be on your show, and hopefully Joe is on the other line.
Yeah, Joe.
I'm here. Thanks.
Hey, Joe.
Thank you, Chris.
Welcome, welcome. So, you know, let's start off by explaining, because in the intro earlier, before the break, we kind of talked about how, you know, this your diet book has been around along with all the big fad diets. They're all gone, and you've survived. So there must be something to this. So can you explain to everyone what the Paleo Diet is?
Hey, Chris, let me just kind of preface this interview by saying that Joe was in a horrible bicycle accident about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and he's flat on his back with 7 broken bones,
Jesus.
So he's having trouble speaking, And I actually, of all things, was in a mountain bike accident 8 weeks ago, and I'm just recovering. So you're talking to a couple of warriors that have written some very popular books, and we're going to do the best we can to do this interview.
Well, thanks for persevering and joining us. Really appreciate that. And, you know, be well. Be well.
Hey, thank you, Chris, so much. I appreciate it. And I know Joe, I can hear his voice in the background, kind of wheezing with his seven broken chest bones.
And Joe, we promised not to make you laugh because I had a broken rib, and that's the worst. So don't laugh, whatever you do.
I certainly understand. It is the worst indeed, Chris.
So tell me about the diet. Can you pinpoint it down for all of our listeners?
Let me talk to you a little bit about this, Chris, is that, you know, it's been interesting. Joe and I have known one another for almost 30 years, and we used to be training partners. We used to run in the hills above Fort Collins. Joe owned the local running shoe store here in Fort Collins, and I was a runner. So that's kind of how we connected. And, you know, years later, I was a professor at Colorado State University. Joe became an Olympic caliber, coach, training people and triathletes and, you know, endurance events. So, you know, that's kind of part of the whole gig. But I just want to say that we are both absolutely amazed is that we wrote this book in 2005. You know, here we are now, what, almost 9 years down the road, and our book and the paleo diet concept has become, viral. It has become amazing on the Internet. And both Joe and I know, and I don't want to speak for Joe, but he's having trouble with his broken ribs, is that we are, very much appreciative of the support that we've had from people around the world for what we have said about how endurance athletes should train and how they should eat. And that's really what our book was about in 2005. We rewrote it in 2012, and you know, that's kind of where we're coming from.
But let's go through really quickly the basic essence of what the diet is, because we're asking people to get rid of anything that's processed. I mean, maybe you can kind of deep dive and do a real quick count of that.
Yeah, let's do that. I know we don't have a whole lot of time on your show, and I don't want to take Joe's time out of this, but I know he's having trouble speaking, and who wouldn't with seven broken ribs? But doesn't it make sense to you or your listeners or anybody that, you know, follows diet or athletics is that let's stop eating processed food. Let's stop eating refined sugars. Let's stop eating refined cereal grains. Let's stop eating refined vegetable oils. These foods comprise almost 70% of the calories in a typical Western diet. My research group at Colorado State University has shown that the typical American diet, we eat 70% of our calories from crap, from junk food. And so we're making, Joe and I have made a very basic statement in our books, is that we need to get back to eating real foods. Let's eat living foods. Let's eat fruits, vegetables, meats, seafood, eggs. When we do that, what we find is that the nutritional density of our diet increases, meaning that the vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals increases. And these are the nutritional factors that help us to train, that help us to resist disease, and to train at a higher level so that we can compete at a higher level. So athletes are no different than the average person. They need to eat healthy, and they shouldn't be eating, you know, donuts and pretzels and candy. So that's one of the real basics of this whole concept.
Absolutely. But you know, conventional wisdom as an endurance athlete, and, you know, for years, we've always been told to carb up. whether it's going with that, you know, the bagel with a little bit of peanut butter before the long run on a Saturday morning, or whether it's in, you know, looking at our hammer gels, or even taking a look at on the course. You know, like when I was ultra marathoning and I did long runs, I was the crazy baked potato guy, you know, in my pack. Yeah, because baked potatoes were pure sugar and a lot easier to digest for me on the run than anything else. But you know, it's that conventional wisdom, you know, as endurance athletes, that's what we're told and kind of brought up to do.
Hey, Chris, you know, I can completely understand what you're saying, and I want your listeners to understand what Joe and I do.
Yep.
It's like we have the luxury of reading the scientific literature. I'm a professor at a Division I research institution, and we have that luxury of reading what makes endurance athletes perform. And Joe and I, in our most recent revision book of our most recent revision of the book, The Paleo Diet for Athletes, www.thepaleodiet.com, we've shown with numerous scientific publications that concept is outdated, mm-hmm. and we know it. And the best research scientists in exercise physiology who study athletic performance, we now know that concept of just carbohydrate loading and muscle glycogen loading is not necessarily correct. And what we realize now is that there are two substrates that we use during endurance performance. We use intramuscular triglyceride, IMT, and we use glycogen. And the notion that only intramuscular glycogen stores from high carbohydrate diets fueled endurance performance is incorrect. And meta-analyses, these are studies of multiple scientific studies, now show us that intramuscular triglyceride as a labile source for fuel during exercise is just as much important. The bottom line is that if you do not consume high glycemic load carbohydrates after each and every endurance activity, and you stay away from that and eat less carbohydrate, eat more fat, what it does is it optimizes what are called beta oxidation pathways. And so if there's any exercise physiologist listening in or any scientist listening in, you realize that when we maximize beta oxidation pathways, it improves performance in the long run. Because what it does is when you run a marathon, when you run a 10K or even a 5K, what it does is it preserves muscle glycogen and it helps muscles to rely upon fatty acid reserves, intramuscular triglycerides.
Okay, so Dr. Lauren, what I want to do is I actually want to get into real examples when we get back from this break. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get back. We want to talk on Running Flat Radio.
Everyone's headed to Subway restaurants for a $5 6-inch barbecue pulled pork sandwich.
Hey, I went to Subway for barbecue pulled pork.
And?
I got it made with banana peppers.
That's it?
Then I got it made with pickles.
And? Maybe the song will help.
I got it made fresh at Subway. Subs the way I said.
I got it made on flatbread with red onions.
Nice. Give into the bold taste of a 6-inch barbecue pulled pork sandwich made the way you say for only $5. Subway, eat fresh. For limited time at participating restaurants.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
23-year-old Trevor Skeets of Amherstburg will be sentenced April 16th after being found guilty of driving over the legal limit of blood alcohol. The conviction stems from a snowmobile crash in January of 2010 that claimed the life of his friend, 19-year-old Corey Melosh. Skeets was found not guilty of impaired driving causing death. You'll soon pay more if you're caught driving while using a cell phone or other prohibited device. Fines in Ontario are nearly doubling to $280, including surcharge, come March 18th. And 28-year-old Victoria Hennebury has left Windsor. She's charged in the disappearance of missing Loretta Saunders of Halifax and is being escorted back to Halifax for a court appearance on Thursday. Saunders' car was found in Harrow a week ago. AM 800 Sports, Bell River's home to Blenheim tonight in Junior C Hockey playoffs. The Raptors are in Cleveland tonight. The Express Hoops squad is visiting Brampton. From the AM 800 Weather Center, tonight a few flurries ending near midnight, a low of minus 16. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, a 60% chance of flurries late tomorrow afternoon, a high of minus 9. Wednesday night, another 60% chance of flurries, breezy, and a low of minus 12. Right now in Windsor Essex, minus 5 Celsius, that is 23 Fahrenheit. With the wind chill, it feels like minus 14 Celsius or 7 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons
to the full 26.2 miles.
We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio, and we have the authors of the Paleo Diet for Athletes, Dr. Lauren Cordain and Joel Friels on the line. And Kelly has a question for you, Dr. Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. I actually picked up your book a couple weeks ago, and I'm really eager to actually go on your diet and give it a try because I'm listening to everything you're saying. I agree, you know, get the processed foods out of our system, all that. But I'll be really honest with you. The problem I'm having is right now I'm in the middle of training for a marathon. And like Chris was saying earlier, you know, before I go for my marathon or my long runs, you always have a bagel, you have a banana, you have oatmeal, everything that pretty much in your diet I'm not supposed to have. So for me to go on to that diet right now, how do I work that in? Because grains, all that stuff is a really big part of what I've always trained with.
Hey, Kelly, don't forget that we have my co-author, Joe Friel, online. And Joe is an U.S. Olympic triathlete as well as marathon coach.
I have actually one of Joe's books right on my bedstand. I think it's Bible.
Joe is the guy that needs to talk to the athletes about how this works.
Okay.
I defer to him, and I know Joe has been in a bicycle accident with 7 broken ribs. I've been in a bicycle accident with a broken femur. So, Joe, can you answer that?
I can sure give it a try, Kelly. First of all, if you're in the process of training for a race right now, it's probably not a good time to make a significant change in your diet.
Okay.
What typically happens is when I see athletes make a switch from one type of diet, high carbohydrate, to a paleo diet, is that they go through about 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, of feeling really run down and tired and don't recover very well. And then after that, they begin to see the benefits. And so I don't know how much time you have until your race, but if it's...
It's in May.
Let's say... I'm sorry?
It's in May.
In May?
Yes.
So now it's February, so we've got March, April, May. You've got 3 months, roughly 12 weeks. You probably could make the change now.
You know what it is? I'm just worried that, you know, if all of a sudden, like I know, I looked at some of your menus and it said, you know, perhaps having salmon and some fruit. And I'm just worried that, you know, I'm going to have that before a 20-miler and go out and bonk halfway through it. Is like, you know what I'm saying?
And what happens is your body goes through some changes. It's not like you're just taking the same body you have now with high carbohydrate and all of a sudden you're feeling it on a different type of fuel. The body actually changes, and the changes it goes through are actually beneficial for performance, for endurance performance. The type of diet we're eating now is actually relatively new. 1970s is when Gatorade came around, and people started eating just a little bit of sugar before workouts and during workouts. It wasn't until the 1980s that it caught on. So it's only been around about 30 years. Before that, endurance athletes didn't eat sugar before workouts. They didn't eat sugar during workouts. They ate a diet which was much more like a paleo diet. And consequently, they were adapted to it, and they didn't have any difficulty with performing at high levels, given the conditions of the performances at the time relative to equipment and such.
When you say Joe, when you say to me that it, that by going on this diet, it's going to improve your performance, how will it improve my performance? Is it going to make me a stronger athlete? Is it going to, you know, ward off injuries? Like, exactly how will it make me better?
Yeah, good question. So two things are likely to happen. One is you're likely to lose body weight.
Okay.
I see this happening in almost everyone who makes the shift. Their body weight begins to decline. They don't even try to lose weight. They just lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
They get down to a weight that's more appropriate for running a marathon. I go to marathons and Ironman triathlons and various types of events all year long, and I'm always amazed at how many people are seriously overweight, and yet they know that they've had to be doing some serious training to get ready for a marathon.
Well, and you're right. You really do see that with triathletes, because I just did an Ironman, and I totally agree with you. It was pretty amazing some of the different body shapes there.
That's true. So one thing that's going to happen is you'll see a change in your, perhaps, I don't know your body composition, but typically people will get and become leaner because of eating a diet like that. Second thing that happens is your body goes through a change in what it relies on for source of energy, as Dr. Cordain is referring to. Your body right now is used to relying on glucose or glycogen for energy, which comes from carbohydrate. And once you've made the change, the body will shift to a different type of energy source. It'll shift to fat as a primary source of energy. And each of us has a gigantic amount of fat. Even the skinniest marathoner has hundreds of hours of fat stored in their body. You don't need to replace any of it. But they've only got enough carbohydrate in their body to last roughly a couple of hours at a high intensity. So we've got lots of fat, and so potentially you'll be able to run off of fat as your fuel source and not be so concerned about taking in carbohydrate during the race in whatever form you normally get it in. And if you wind up missing an aid station or two, dealing with the fact that you may wind up not being able to finish the race because you bonk.
Yep.
That's just not going to happen once you make the change.
Okay.
There's too many things that come out of the shift, I believe.
Okay, so now I go on your diet this weekend. I have my first 20-miler. That morning before I go out and run that 20-miler, on your diet, what would you suggest that I eat?
Here's what I would suggest. I would suggest you not make a cold turkey change over to a paleo diet.
Okay.
I would recommend you start making small changes around the edges. But you start off by keeping your, whatever you're doing, your 20-miler, keep it the same as normal.
Because
I can tell you, if you make a change and start eating paleo a couple of days before the 20-miler, you're probably going to struggle on the 20-miler. Your body just does not shift immediately from using carbohydrate for fuel to using fat for fuel.
Okay.
It has to go through a process to get there. It takes some time. So gradually begin to change your diet. Begin to cut back on some of the sugar you're eating. Do some of your shorter runs on fasted, on nothing before the run. So if you're doing, let's say, a 3-mile run midweek, go out and do it on an empty stomach, just water. And your body will begin to make the changes. And as you make small changes in your diet over the next few weeks, you'll eventually come to the point, which may be 5 or 6 weeks from now, where you're eating paleo, but you didn't experience the downsides of a cold turkey shift all of a sudden to a different diet form. You'll be able to maintain your training and also be able to shift gradually to eating paleo.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's a good suggestion. Hey Joe, we have a listener in Vancouver who emailed us, and Josh is an Ironman and training for an Ironman, and he was asking, how does paleo relate to the guys who train, you know, basically, you know, 30 plus hours a week, 20, 30 hours a week? And not only just that, but also when you're out in the field for, you know, in a competition for 9 or 10 hours like that.
Sure. Yeah, it works. I know people don't trust it because they're so used to doing things the way they've been doing it for the last 30, 40 years.
Well, it's not like runners are stubborn, right?
Not hardly.
Sorry to make you laugh.
Yeah, I understand. That really is the situation. We don't tend to trust new ideas. It seems like for somebody who's been in the sport for the last 10, 15, 20 years, triathlon, it seems like we've been eating things like Gatorade and goo and so forth forever. Like that's the only thing there is. How can you possibly do anything else? I've been around sport now for, 50 years or something like that. And I've seen the change. I know we don't have to have all that sugar in a diet to be able to perform at a high level. Can you believe me? Probably not. You probably have to try out for yourself to find out. But I can guarantee you there's lots of athletes out there doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to an athlete just a few weeks ago who does Ironman water only.
And water only?
Anything. Water only for an Ironman.
Wow.
So that's possible. The guy who won the Western States 100-mile cross-country race run is a paleo nutritionist. He does it entirely on almost nothing. He takes in almost nothing or whatever it is, 12 hours or something like that, it takes him to run the 100 miles. And that's becoming a trend now. There's actually a trend toward people eating paleo and not relying on sugar as their primary source of energy.
But you know what's funny about that, Joe, is years ago, your old school runners, that's what they did, really. You'd never see them with their water belts and that. They just ran. They never took in water. They never had the goo packs and stuff like that, and they finished, which is kind of funny that you're saying that.
I was a marathoner in the 1970s, and I didn't use anything like this. There wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
First time I ever saw it was sometime in the early 1980s. I saw a product called ERG, electrolyte replacement with glucose. It was a powder you mixed with water, and that was one of the first products that athletes began to use, and then it mushroomed. And so now we're like overwhelmed with sugar products to use during exercise.
I would hate to tell you what I had on my bike for Ironman because it was like a food buffet on there.
I understand.
Of sugar. Wow. You know, thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us. It's a great book. I did get a chance to read it while I was on while I was away for a couple of weeks, and it's definitely food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we have a lot of high-end performance endurance athletes that come on this show, and of course who really, you guys have to answer a couple questions before you leave. One is, whose shoes are you wearing when you're running?
You know what, Joe's got 7 broken ribs. I've got 1 broken leg. And in the first book we wrote, the introduction to the book shows who's running the legs. Joe and I used to run together, in our youth. And we ran 10, 12, 15 miles together. And so, you know, the listeners of this can hear about, you know, our running experiences. We're both runners and have been runners for, you know, the very beginning. And so, we're committed to this whole running lifestyle. And, Joe can further comment on that, but he knew, you know, what I said on that first book when we were out and we did those runs together so many years ago.
Right. Well, you know what? Thank you very much for joining us, Lauren and Joe, The Paleo Diet for Athletes. You can pick it up at Chapters. You can pick it up online as well at thepaleodiet.com. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us. And we'll be right back with Canadian Running Magazine.
Show. The Morning Drive.
We are good to go.
Mike K. Cook and Lisa Williams.
On Wednesday, Lisa will be back from vacation, and at 8:20, we'll talk about the do's and don'ts of RRSP season. At 7:50, your chance to win a $75 gift card from Applebee's on the Impossible Question. And how would you like to save big while supporting local businesses? We'll find out how at 8:20.
Mike K. Cook and Lisa Williams.
The Morning Drive.
Weekday mornings 5 till 9 on AM 800.
Oh, sound like your new basement installation is being fitted.
Okay, new basement installation may not sound that sexy, but as you're thinking of home renos this spring, now you can get a rebate from Union Gas of up to
$2,500. Mmm, for energy efficiency renovations, which can save you up to 20% on your energy bills. Learn more at uniongas.com/homereno. New basement insulation sound pretty good now, doesn't it?
When you find $5 in an old coat, you feel like a king. And a king deserves the golden crispiness of an original chicken sandwich at Burger King. And when inside that $5 bill you find a crumpled up 20, you really feel like a king. And a real king treats his friends to a round of original chicken sandwiches. Now two for just $5 at Burger King. For a limited time only in participating restaurants.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. A few flurries ending near midnight tonight, a low of minus 16. Mainly cloudy tomorrow, a 60% chance of flurries late tomorrow afternoon, a high of minus 9. Another 60% chance of flurries Wednesday night, breezy, a low of minus 12. Mix of sun and cloud Thursday, a 40% chance of flurries, windy, and a high of minus 12. And a low of minus 23 on the way Thursday night. Very cold Thursday night, a low of minus 23. Once again tonight, a few flurries ending near midnight, a low of minus 16.
Hey, Daffodil One, I just heard the new Canadian Cancer Society lottery is over 60% sold.
Sure is, and no wonder. This year, they're giving away double the daily car prizes and double the daily cash prizes.
Oh, so that's why we're delivering all these amazing new cars.
Yep, and if that weren't enough, there's also three grand prizes of $1 million.
Woohoo! No other lottery gives you a better chance to win big. Tickets are over 60% sold.
I'm glad I got my ticket. Get yours at lottery.cancer.ca.
Lottery license 6233.
Helping you achieve your personal best.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Wow, I just got a biology lesson. But, you know, it's great to have, you know, people like Dr. Lauren and Joe on. I mean, Joe has obviously been there, done that, a world of knowledge. And hopefully, you know, for our listener out in Vancouver, to Josh, that helped answer your question. And, you know, I know of a number of Olympic athletes that have been on the paleo diet through their competitions. And I know when Joe was the coach for the Olympic triathlon team, he got a number of his athletes to go on to it as well. So there's a lot to be said about that. You know, on our line right now from Canadian Running Magazine, our good friend Michael Doyle is in Los Angeles, and pinch hitting for him is our other good friend Scott Leach. How are you, Scott?
Hello, how's it going, Chris?
I am better than the average bear. Hey, let me ask you, you're still running indoors, obviously. Hey, Scott? And I think we just lost Scott. This is the beauty of live radio, by the way.
Oh, hi, I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
I'm back.
You know, we do this show live on purpose, by the way, because it really just kind of brings out how much fun it really is. So you're obviously training indoors.
Yes, I am training indoors these days.
Yeah, it's going to get painfully cold later on this week. So tell me, what's new and interesting happening in the news?
There's been some cool stuff going on. You know, to start off, I guess the Olympics just wrapped up, and something interesting that a lot of runners might not notice is that I guess it's not so much a long distance running story, but a lot of former Canadian sprinters have hopped on the bobsled team and competed over in Sochi. So. We had a gold medalist in Heather Moyes, who was a sprinter a few years ago at the University of Waterloo. She won the women's bobsled along with Kelly Humphreys, so that was pretty interesting.
Nice.
And so that's timely with the Olympics wrapping up. There was also a bunch of other track and field sprinters who raced. Unfortunately, a couple of them, you know, crashed the bobsled when the third team and the four-man crashed, but Brian Barnett was one of them, and he actually raced at the Olympics as well outdoors in 2008 over 200 meters. This is something that we're seeing a lot more of recently. A lot of track and field sprinters are moving over and joining the bobsled teams in their countries because the skills that you have as a sprinter translate very well to pushing bobsled.
And they certainly do. And you also have a story coming up about a biopic and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, this is really interesting. Not so much a Canadian story, but kind of a running story, biopic, movie story in general. There was an American 5,000-meter runner who competed in the 1936 Olympics. His name was Louis Zamperini, and he, after competing in the Olympics, he joined the U.S. Army, and he ended up, he was a pilot in a bomber, and he crashed his bomber into the Pacific Ocean, and he survived 47 days at sea with his partner, and then he was captured by the Japanese, and he was kept in a prisoner of war camp until the end of the war in 1945. So he lived a pretty interesting life, and so Angelina Jolie is now directing a biopic about his movie. The movie's going to be called Unbroken, and it'll be coming out sometime around Christmas coming up this year.
It is an amazing story, because not only that, but he is also one of the few people that have actually met Hitler.
Yes.
Absolutely stunning that after the race, Hitler called him over, and they shook hands.
After his 5,000-meter race at the 1936 Olympics.
Yeah, fascinating person, and I know that at the same time we're trying to get a hold of Angelina Jolie for this fall to get her on the show to talk about running, mostly because when the biopic comes out in the fall, we'd like to kind of talk to her about that. I'm not sure about the restraining order if that still counts, but yeah, I know it's a great story. And then you have another one coming up about Canadian indoor.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the heart of the Canadian indoor track and field season right now. You know, when it's cold, we have to race inside. But the Canadians have been doing really well. We had a bunch of indoor records broken on the weekend of Valentine's Day, so last weekend. The biggest one may have been Nate Brandon, who is he's twice been to the Olympics for Canada in the 1500 meters, and he broke his own national indoor record in the mile, in the Wanamaker Mile in New York City. There's a meet called the Millrose Games every year, so this is one of the most prestigious indoor miles that they run each year. And he ran 3:54.32 to break his own record from a few years ago, so that was interesting. Another big one was Aaron Brown, who is a 200-meter athlete, and he broke the national indoor 200-meter record, which was held by Bruni Surin, who was one of the best sprinters in the world during the 90s. He won 2 silver medals at the World Championships. Sorry, it sounded like you were going to jump
no,
in
No,
there.
No, 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 I agree with you. He's actually one of the, out of the whole lot in that period of time, he was the only clean one.
Yeah, well, Donovan Bailey was...
Yep, another one, yep.
And he was on the 4x1 team that won the gold medal at the 1996 Olympics with Donovan Bailey as well. So, and he holds, along with Donovan Bailey, the national 100-meter record. He kind of is one of the less recognized sprinters from the 90s.
Hey, Scott, can you tell me, how did you get to start to run? Because that's really what most of the show is about, is kind of getting people to really think about running, and hopefully it's going to warm up soon. And you know, we're going to do a little bit of a after-show run starting probably at the end of the month. You know, when we do daylight savings and it gets a little bit warmer, we can start to get some of our listeners out and get them into a 5K. But tell me, how did you start running?
I guess, you know, sort of I've been running my entire life. I ran cross country and track and field as a little kid, and it was just sort of a sport that I played all those different sports when I was younger. But as I grew up, I sort of ended up being allured by this a little bit more. I had success in it, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the team aspect of it. And, you know, through university, I ended up being a track and field athlete with my university team at Western, and I've continued on, and it's brought me to where I am now.
So what's made it stick? All these years. I mean, there has to be an allure. I mean, that's, and I think that's probably the hardest part about being a runner is keeping that motivation up, especially on a day like, or this winter that we've all had, mm-hmm. we've all experienced, you know, right across North America.
I think one of the things that keeps me coming back is, although it might seem very similar all the time, you're just sort of running, there is a lot of different aspects to it, especially when you get into it. You know, you have to, there's a lot of aspects towards keeping in shape and keeping it up through the winter that you have to be on top of. You have to watch your fitness. You have to watch what you're eating. You have to kind of schedule a day around it. And once you get into that habit, though, it becomes kind of second nature to you, like a lot of other things. So,
but how do you actually get motivated? I actually coach a Learn to Run clinic at a local running store, the Running Factory, and I'm finding, you know, with brand new runners, this winter is killing them because, you know, let's face it, when it's minus 20 out, it's really difficult to go out and run, and if you don't have that running history under your belt, it's even tougher. Now, what advice would you give to those new runners to kind of motivate them to get them outdoor?
I guess trying to remember, I guess if they're new, it's maybe difficult, but even if they've been running for only a year, try and get them to remember that, you know, summer's just, well, maybe not summer, but spring is just around the corner, and it's getting warm out. Well, maybe not now. It seemed to be getting warm a few days ago, but spring's really not that far, and try and remember that once it gets to become spring, this is going to be a lot easier for you. You're going to enjoy it a lot more, and, you know, you'll probably have some more friends who come out of the woodwork and want to run with you, and so that's something that you can always look forward to.
And I think also one of the other things, too, Scott, is goal setting. Right. I mean, because you train with something in mind, right? Whether it's, you know, in the summer, whether it's a marathon, a half marathon, whether it's an indoor meet or whatever it might be. I think that's a key part to what we do is, you know, we got to sign up for that, make the commitment, and then you pay the money and now we got to go do it.
Not everyone is interested in racing all the time, but if you are someone who likes to go out and pick up a local 5K or run a half marathon this summer, just getting out there and signing up is something that's almost going to force you to get in shape for it, because you don't really want to show up on race day having not trained at all. So
awesome,
that'll get you out the door.
Scott Leach, thank you very much from Canadian Running Magazine. You do an amazing job on the web, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
And thank you for joining us this week on Running Flat Radio. Next couple weeks, we've got some amazing guests, and if you have any feedback, we'd like to hear from you, most likely through our Facebook presence. You can go to Running Flat Radio, radio show on Running Flat, and leave your comments there and your future questions for other guests.
Or even maybe even some topics they'd like us to cover.
Absolutely. So for Kelly Steele and myself, Chris Huzinski, thank you for joining us, and keep running.
And that's the end of it.
End of episode.
Running Flat Radio with Chris Huzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Running Flat Radio is a paid program.
Local news is next on AM 800 CKLW, the information station.
Did you know if you've been accident-free for 6 years, you could avoid an increase to your